Good, praise God. How are we doing? Good. You survived the tornado watch and all that other stuff? That's what I was told before, that there was a tornado watch and all that stuff. You hang around New Jersey for 15 minutes, you'll get a little bit of everything. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to be starting a new series tonight. It will probably last, I would say, at least a few weeks. Obviously, you saw the title there. What is it?
Priorities.
Priorities. Very important. Extremely important. Now, this weekend is the introduction into this, so I want to lay some groundwork. Because although if we were to ask each one of that's here tonight, do you think priorities are important? Everybody would say, yeah, but very rarely do we actually walk that out in life. We get distracted, we get lazy, we get overwhelmed. And most of the time, that ends up happening is because we didn't keep our priorities lined up the right way. So let me just lay some foundation here. Now, we're entering into a new season, okay? Now, that's a two-pronged reality. Number one, we're entering a new season just in nature. Springtime is upon us now, and very shortly, we'll be in the summer season, which here at the shore means something totally different than it does anywhere else in the country, okay? For instance, if you're going to travel on the parkway at any time on Sunday afternoon, if you got to go someplace, especially you have to go up north, you better get on the parkway before 1 o'clock. Otherwise, you'll add an extra hour to the trip. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It used to be Friday nights used to be crazy. Now, it's Thursday night that's crazy because people are coming down for extended weekends. A lot of people, instead of staying for weeks at a time at the shore, they come on Thursday night, they stay till Sunday afternoon. So now all of a sudden, a lot of traffic on the parkway on Thursday nights. Has anybody noticed that?
Yeah.
Well, as we continue to go. Number two, so we're entering into new seasons, okay? Number two, the universal church world, the Christian world, has entered into a new season in the spirit. God is drawing the hearts of multitudes who previously wanted nothing to do with church, Jesus, the Bible, or anything else Christian, and it's happening.
Yes.
It's happening. In a very real way, things that we've prayed about for, I know for myself, prayed about for decades, now we're starting to see come to pass. Just like, can you believe this is happening? Let's spend some time on that. Seasons. Everybody say seasons. Now understand, and many of you do, I know that just like there are seasons in nature, there are seasons in the spirit. They don't always appear at the same time, but there are seasons in life, there are seasons in the spirit. Each one of those seasons has got to be, must be, number one, recognized. You have to recognize when you're in a season, okay? It has to be acknowledged, and it has to be stewarded. Say that, please, stewarded. What does that mean? It has to be managed with care and handled reverently. I want to say this again, because many times people get in trouble. We get in trouble as Christians. We might even get bogged down because we're, number one, we're not recognizing the season that we're in. And even if you recognize the season that we're in, sometimes we don't want to acknowledge the season that we're in.
That's good.
Just give me a couple of amens.
Amen.
Okay, even if you didn't get it yet, just give me an amen by faith. Give me an amen by faith. Okay. For instance, let's say, and we're talking spiritually now. Let's say the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has you in a season of sowing. I don't mean this kind of, let's say you're in a season of planting, investing, but you want to be in a season of harvest. You're going to get frustrated.
That's right.
Because that's not the season you're in. Okay, you can get frustrated. If you're believing, well, Pastor, I'm believing God for harvest, I'm believing God, I need finances, or I need energy, or I need peace, or I need whatever, and you're in the season expecting to harvest it, but yet, you're in the spirit, the Holy Spirit really has you in a season of planting, there's going to be frustration because you're going to expect to receive from a crop that you haven't even planted yet.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Let's say the Holy Spirit has you in a season of where you're to really pour out from your heart and walk in love with people. You're to give of yourself to people, but for whatever reason, you believe you're in a season of isolation. Maybe you responded wrongly to some kind of an offense. Maybe you've put yourself out there expecting to receive, but you're in a position by the Holy Spirit where you're supposed to be sowing into somebody's life time, patience. Maybe the Lord's got you where you're supposed to go help somebody in their home. But you think, well, nobody's doing anything for me. That's not the season you're in. Is anybody getting this? So if you don't recognize the season you're in, and then if you don't acknowledge it, because sometimes we recognize the season that we're in, but we're not willing to acknowledge it. We don't want to be in that season. Then once you settle those issues between you and God, okay, then you have to steward that season. You've got to manage it. You've got to believe God how to navigate through it so that you go from, let's say, a season of planting to a season of harvest. Are you getting this? It's all about seasons. Now, unless somebody can show this to me in Scripture, I'm not sure that I know that we can actually pray for a season. I think we just need to pray to be sensitive to whatever season the Holy Spirit has us in. Because I know this is a tough one to swallow. You're not God. I'm not God. We can't predetermine what seasons we want to go into. All we can do is pray and respond. Recognize the season that we're in. You know, sometimes the Lord will put you into a season where, for whatever reason, you got to learn. Maybe you have to learn how to submit. Maybe you have to learn how not be whatever the center of all the focus. And you may have to go into a season where you start realizing, why am I being mistreated by people? Okay, why does it seem like I'm getting the short end of the stick all the time? Okay, God's aware of that. And it's not like he leads us into that, but maybe he knows what's coming up in your life. And maybe that season of bowing and season of humbling yourself will eventually give way to a season of exaltation. Amen. But that's got to come from him. Amen. He raises up. He knocks down. Amen. Amen? So every season, watch this now, because I want to show you the danger of missing out on a season. Every season's got to be recognized. Say that with me. Recognized, acknowledged, and managed. And it's got to be handled reverently. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Now as he drew near, just talking about Jesus and talking about the city of Jerusalem, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Verse 42, this is Jesus speaking about Jerusalem, and obviously he's not weeping over the buildings, he's weeping over the people, the population of Jerusalem. Okay? And look what he says, if you had known, even you, especially this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Now, it does not mean that Jesus is hiding them. They're, because of the attitude they've had, because of the way they would not receive him, they caused their eyes to be blind to who was really in front of them. Are you seeing this? So he said, if you had known, we're talking about recognized, if you had known, even you, especially this your day, the things that would make for your peace, but now they were hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and not leave one stone upon another. Look at this. Say it with me nice and loud. Because you did not know the time of your what? Visitation. They did not recognize the season. They didn't acknowledge the season. They didn't steward the season. And therefore, they brought destruction upon themselves. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. Thank you so much. We will avoid chaos when we keep our priorities right, when we recognize and prioritize our lives according to the season that we're in. Amen? Now, multitudes of Christians have been praying and crying out to God for the harvest. Harvest of what? Come on, it's okay. Say it. Souls. Souls. For a revival of God's power in and through the church all across the land. Now, this past Holy Week, I want you to listen to me very closely. I'm trusting that next weekend we'll have a video to actually show you some of the things that went on all over the world. Something astounding happened all over the world last week. Well, I didn't see it on the news. Of course you don't see it on the news. Okay? Reports are coming out of unprecedented participation and revival breaking out all over the world last week. Amen. Australia saw over 10,000 people get baptized over Easter weekend. 10,000 people, okay? Listen to this one. In Ethiopia, 2 million people filled the streets celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. Multiple college campuses here in our nation had gatherings of 10 to 15,000 college students celebrating the risen Jesus. Okay? England, where the church has been dead for the past 50 years, okay, reported church attendance of 50%. Amen. You don't understand the significance of that, because for the most part, England has become a Muslim nation. For them to see this type of attendance, an increase. In France, one of the most anti-Christian nations in Europe. Okay? Did everybody forgot the French Revolution? The French Revolution had nothing to do with politics. It had everything to do with the church, to destroy the church. Okay? In France, okay, they saw people flocking into the churches again. And over 500 people were converted and baptized in French churches. Yes, okay, it's taking place in the Catholic churches. Okay, but listen, I'm not done yet. Catholic and Orthodox churches all over Europe had a combined baptism of 17,400 adults and children. You say, well, Pastor, if it's happening in the Catholic churches, is it really going to make that? Here's what you got to understand about secular society. The same thing is happening in Israel. Most people don't realize that Israel is a secular society. We pay attention, you know, we focus on the Orthodox communities, the religious people, the religious Jews, but for the most part, the majority of people in Israel are not religious people. Now, what's happened since October the 7th, 2 years ago? All of a sudden, everyone in Israel has rediscovered their roots. Okay? One of the number one songs on the national radio stations about a month and a half ago was a totally religious song worshiping God and declaring that God is good and he's going to increase me more and more and more and more and more. What you don't understand is this. A person, when you have a secular society, many times they have to go from secular to religious before they can actually have a relationship with God. And if it starts in the Catholic churches in Europe and in the Orthodox churches in Europe, praise God. Amen. The fact of the matter is the darkness is losing its grip. Amen. People are coming back to the Lord. Amen. Now, locally, here in this church last week, between Wednesday night service and Friday night young adult service and the weekend services all over our campuses, just under, I'll give you the exact number, 2,360 people came to church at one of New Beginning services last week. That's almost 700 more than we normally have, even on the Easter holiday. All the glory goes to God. Okay? Because we didn't do it. Do I want to say that? Yeah, it was a weekend of no gimmicks. We didn't have to have a petting zoo outside. We didn't have to try to bribe people. People are coming to church because they want the Lord. They are tired. They know, even the most ungodly person knows something is wrong in our society. Something, the darkness, the devil always overplays his card. And the backlash now is that people, even people that never want to hear anything about God, never want to know nothing about the Bible, don't want to know anything, all of a sudden realizing something's not right. Something's not right. God is drawing people in their hearts. Amen. Who was here the Wednesday before Easter? Over 500, they gave me the number. I made them go count it three times. 500 individuals were in this building on a Wednesday night. That's between here and our teens, our teenagers in the teen service, between the children, 500. That we've never had 500 people in one service. God is moving. And I give you the example of our church because I only know about our church. I don't know about it. But what I'm seeing on Facebook, many, many, many churches, even throughout our region, all through this country, had just ridiculous crowds, record-breaking crowds last Easter weekend. You listening? God's moving. God's moving. So watch this now. In this kind of a season, if you're not careful, your priorities will get messed up, and it is possible for everybody else around you to experience God. And you wouldn't even know he's in the room. Yeah. Priorities. Yeah. Priorities. Let's start off with worship. If we really understood what worship is, we would place a priority on it. Yeah. If we really understood the importance of getting here and lifting our hands, why? Oh, but do I have to lift my hands because everybody else? No, we lift our hands because God tells us to lift our hands. It's an act of reverence. It's an act of worship. Sometimes we say it's an act of surrender, but not really. It's more of an act of, you are God and I am not. Amen. So what do you spend your time doing in worship? If your mind is all over the place, then you haven't prioritized worship. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know this. Every one of us has a capacity to set our needs aside for that 15, 20, maybe a half an hour so that we can prioritize and say, you know what, God, this is your time. I'm not going to rob you of this time. I'm not going to let my mind wander. I'm not going to think about, okay, what pizza place am I going to go after service tonight? I'm not going to let my thoughts wander of whatever. You just fill in the blanks. We have the ability. We have the ability to live disciplined rather than living by our emotions. Yes. We live by emotions. You come in the room with your lip dragging on the ground. Oh, man, what a day I've had today. Get in line with everybody else. Did I touch a nerve tonight? There's something, no, are you good with me going there? Because you know what? We're going into this season. In fact, you know what? We're not going. We're in it. We're in it. But it's my job, it's my responsibility is to steward this season in this church. I am commanded in the word of God. In Jeremiah and in Proverbs gives advice and gives command to pastors, shepherds. I am to know the condition of my flock. But I'm also supposed to be like the sons of Issachar. If you read about the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament, the main thing they were known for is they understood the times and the seasons. And God used that tribe in Israel to, by the Holy Spirit, to lead Israel, to guide Israel, to direct Israel. Amen. Are you listening? Yes. Now, I'm assuming you want to participate with God. Yes. I'm assuming you don't want to be on the sidelines. When God releases his power, releases miracles, just draws people in like a gigantic net, just pulling all the fish in, I don't want to be on the sidelines, distracted. Priorities messed up, and all this thing happens, and that's it. I remember when we were down, some of you may know this, that back in 1996 and back in from 96 until early 2000, there was a big revival that broke out in Pensacola, Florida. Who knows about that? Who knew about that? Oh, dear Jesus. I'm going to have to do a series and just study church history because if God did it then, he'll do it again. And I remember one of the main evangelists that was very, very instrumental in that revival, when we were there in person, we went there for about 3 or 4 days, I forget how long we were there. He said this, that one of the coaches for his kids was wondering why his son wasn't playing basketball, okay? And he said, because when my son grows up, he's not going to stand around and say that when God, I missed out on the revival, because when God was moving and thousands of people were becoming born again and people were getting healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and miraculous things were going on, he said, my son's not going to be standing around saying I missed out on that because I was playing basketball that night. Now, some of you got bothered by that because I touched the God of sports. And the Christians today are no better than the Romans won the Colosseum 2,000 years ago. The crowds would pack in there to see people killing each other. And that's how they pacified the population. Okay? You better watch that God. Is it good for kids to be involved? Absolutely. But to make it a God and make it a non-negotiable, and when your family... So what are we talking about tonight? And this is being recorded. I'm speaking to every parent that would hear this. Amen. Don't you dare put your kids in a situation where you make them think that sports are more important than God.
Amen.
Well, my kid's going to get a scholarship. Yeah, right. Okay. The percentage is ridiculously low. Okay? Train them to be a man of God. Don't worry about how tall they are, no matter how many baskets they can make, if they can knock people down on the football field. Don't worry about that stuff, because that's going to be passing. Let them have fun. I'll let them have fun. But never, ever, ever put that stuff before you put God. Because let me tell you something. When they turn 15, 16, 17, and now all of a sudden there's drug problems, there's sexual disease, there's all kinds of stuff, then you want to bring them to us, and you expect us to wave a magic wand, and all of a sudden now they're going to become saints. It doesn't work that way. You told them that God wasn't important enough. Oh, how quiet it got tonight. I always say it. I'm not worried about it. You didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. Well, I'm not coming anymore. It's all right. We'll give you a seat to somebody else. Say it with me. I love my pastor. Because he tells me the truth. Whether it feels good or not. Can I add this? Why? Because I love you.
Amen.
And I love my job.
Amen.
Now think about seasons. Think about seasons, okay? Because the success in this season in the spirit is going to require intentional preparation, which brings us back to point number one. Point number one, natural changes in season. Okay. Natural changes of seasons can be disruptive. Okay. Researchers tell us that our bodies actually react to the change in seasons. Our body clock is affected by the time change. Okay. Those sensitive to allergies know that the change of seasons might require a person taking a lot of vitamins and much prayer.
Amen.
Okay. I'll tell you one thing you better stop saying. Well, here it goes. It's that time of the year again. My allergies are acting up again. No, did you feel that nerve got touched too? Stop owning stuff that God never desired for you to have to begin with. My blood pressure, my allergies, my sugar, my this, my that, my stop it. Stop. Well, you know, Pastor, every year this time I usually get pneumonia. Well, welcome. That's wonderful. Good. Let's get you scheduled in. What are you doing? The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you shall eat the fruit of it. Stop doing that.
Amen?
All right. So, real soon, the weather will become much warmer. At that point, the sand and the waves are going to start looking real good. The boats will leave the driveways and they'll be launched into the water. And then the nice weekends will give birth to this line of reasoning. I work hard every week and all week long and just have the weekends to enjoy life. Surely God wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labors. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. However, he wants us to observe a Sabbath. Say a Sabbath. That's one day out of seven. Sabbath is one day out of seven. What there is, I said this, I think, the other night. I don't remember where it was. In the Bible, there's no such thing as a weekend. Oh, I'm really tearing it up tonight. I could hear people go, why don't he mind his own business? It's one day out of seven. That leaves how many days? Keep your priorities right, okay? Now, granted, I put some notes in here for myself, all right? You know, don't abandon your schedule. If you must, rearrange it, but don't abandon it. If you have stuff to do, you want to be out there and you want to be with whoever, friends, family, you got your boat, you want to get on your boat, why do you think we have a Saturday night service? Duh. Something's going, let's say you have a wedding or something like that on a Sunday. Okay, well then come Saturday night. Okay, how many of you from other campuses here tonight? You might have something, maybe you had something going on tomorrow, you're not going to be at the other campus, so it doesn't mean you have to go without church this week. So you come here on Saturday night. Thank God that we have that available. Okay, so let's say whatever is going on, and you, if it's more convenient for you to go to one of the other campuses on Sunday, then go to one of the campuses. Go to Wall Campus and listen to Pastor Tom. Go to Babel Campus, listen to Pastor Mike. Okay, but don't abandon going to church, and I'll tell you why. It's a very practical reason. It goes all the way back to the book of Exodus, back to almost the very beginning. In Exodus, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, how were they led by God? By a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's what physically the Israelites waited. When the cloud picked up, it was daytime, they saw the cloud picked up, they got up and they started moving. If it was at night, they got up and started moving. Now, if a straggler disappeared into the desert for a few days and then showed up after the cloud picked up, where's the rest of the congregation? They moved on. They moved on. You know, every once in a while, we'll get somebody come and go, and you know, I get a pretty good mind. I know who's here and who's not, for the most part. You might get me a couple of weeks, but I'll know eventually. And that's why you see me sometimes, get away from my seat and start walking around. What do you think I'm doing? I'm looking. Who's here? Who's now? You laugh, but watch this now. What kind of shepherd? Amen. If there's sheep missing, I'm talking about a natural shepherd. If he's missing five sheep, guess what? It's going to cost him. And so every once in a while, you get somebody who I know has not been around for a while, and they'll come, and you guys give yourself away all the time. You'll make statements like, my God, it's a whole different church. Yeah, well, you haven't been here in 6 months. Of course it's a whole different church. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what is that all about? Well, I was out there in the desert, and I wasn't really with the rest of the congregation, and the congregation picked up and moved on in the things of God and the things of the Spirit. We moved into a new season. That's why it's so important for you to be consistent. If this is your church, if this is where God is feeding you, then you've got to show up on a regular basis. Because nothing that's alive stays stagnant. We're constantly moving. We're constantly developing. The Spirit of God is constantly directing us. You've got to be in it. What is that saying? You've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be in it. Why? Because there's impartation. Even now, as I'm speaking, I know in my gut, there's impartations going forth. The Holy Spirit is depositing things. I don't know what to call it. You don't know what to call it. But because you were here present, or because you were watching it, because the Holy Spirit can do it by transmission, okay, you got something because you were part of the congregation. In this time period tonight, on Saturday, April the 26th of 2025, this is the most unique group. Never again will we have the same exact group here. Never again. Now, the Holy Spirit knew exactly who was going to be here tonight, knows exactly who you are and what you're going through and what you need. And so this is a unique church service right now. Never be another one like this. You listening?
Yes.
Don't abandon your schedule. Change around if you have to. Because if we're going to navigate the future with success, then we must keep our priorities in order. Is this bear witness with anybody tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Priorities. Let's talk about priorities. All throughout the day, we are faced with opportunities to prioritize our time, our attention, our affections, and our finances. This is an ongoing battle. Whether we're going to conduct our daily lives with godly wisdom, or are we going to be a train wreck waiting to happen? Lack of prioritizing is an invitation to chaos. Somebody better write that one down. Somebody should post that right now. I don't care. I wouldn't be offended if you got on your phone. Lack of prioritizing, okay, is an invitation to chaos. God created us as beings to keep first things first. When we get out of that, we sense. Do you ever feel out of sorts?
Yes.
Just me, Pastor Mike. Have you ever felt out of sorts and you can't put your finger on it? It's probably because you messed up your priorities. I know if I get up in the morning, if I don't spend some kind of time with God, the day... It might not be a train wreck, but it's certainly, I know on the inside, I'm not hitting all the cylinders. I'm not hitting all eight. Amen. You see, anybody know what I'm talking about? This is important because it could, what if on the day that you didn't prioritize your life right, out of left field, you are forced to make a major decision, and now here you are, your soul is all out of sorts, and you can't think straight, but you got to make the decision now. You may have to live with the consequences of that thing for a decade. I'm going to keep preaching. You guys jump in whenever you want. So what is prioritizing? The act of putting first things first, to designate or treat something as more important than other things. So let's talk about some practical stuff, okay? Example. When a financial advisor tells you to prioritize your credit card debt, they are telling you to stop buying $7 coffee drinks. Or they tell you to stop ordering every new gadget that comes out on Amazon. Stop it. Well, thank God my wife's not here tonight. Barb, why is that truck in front of the house? Again. I just ordered something. What do you mean you just ordered something? What is that? What's something? What is that? And then I'll open the box. What is this thing? Oh, I saw it online. I thought it would be... Yeah. Anybody here have grandchildren?
Yes.
Dear Jesus.
Yes.
So when you go to a financial advisor and they tell you, you got to prioritize your credit card debt, usually what they'll tell you to do is start paying off the one that has the highest interest rate. So what are you doing? You're prioritizing. Now, you got X amount of dollars, they got to go split up someplace. So what they'll tell you is, okay, let's prioritize that. Start putting most of your money towards the one that's got the highest debt, the highest interest rate. Once you pay that off, then what do you do now? You reshuffle and reprioritize and say, okay, what's the next one? What's the next highest interest rate? That's how you get out of debt. You don't get out of debt by keep using a credit card over and over again. Well, I'm just in one of those moods today. Is this too real tonight or what? Because, you know, when you're preaching, if it ain't practical, it ain't God. All right, let's change the topic a little bit. When your loved ones, let's get serious now. When your loved ones begin complaining that they don't see you enough, it is time to start prioritizing your personal schedule, or there will be consequences. Marriages fall apart because one or both spouses fail to recognize that something has changed in that relationship because the priorities are messed up. You see how quiet it got? To prioritize means to determine the order of dealing with a series of items or tasks according to their relative importance. And that's where we start inventorying our priorities. What's really important to you? I can't tell you. I'm not with you 24/7. But the Holy Ghost is. And if you ask him, guess what? He'll show you. In the natural, go look at your bank account. What are you spending the most money on? Whatever you're spending the most money on is most likely high up there on your priority list. Well, I don't know why you got to talk about money in church. Where do you want to talk about it? Because this is the thing you talk about constantly. And if you can't talk about it in church, or we can get some answers from the scriptures. All throughout the Word of God, we see that our Heavenly Father is always prioritizing and putting things in order for our sake because his primary motivation is love. Let's go right back to the beginning. You remember me teaching you this? Anything that is taught, if you cannot find it in the book of Genesis, don't listen to it. Because the book of Genesis is the book of what?
Beginnings.
Okay. We're going to go right back to the very beginning. Can't go back any further than this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form. Let's say it like it really is. And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the reason I switched that, because in translation in Hebrew, it says it became without form. Okay, and void. Go look it up. And the Spirit of God was doing what?
Hovering.
Over what?
The face
of the waters. Okay, because we got darkness, we got no form. No, in other words, chaos, void, emptiness. Darkness was on the face of the deep, on the waters. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the what?
Waters.
Then God said, come on, let's do it again, nice and loud. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let there be light. And there was light. Now, why light? Well, number one, this light is not sunlight, but the light of God introduced into the introduction of the light of God's influence into the universe. Natural sunlight was not created until the fourth day. Go look it up, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 19. So then what light is this talking about? This is light is referred to in John chapter 1 in the Gospels. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, don't go out of here and say, Pastor Joe's teaching that God created Jesus, who's the light. No. That's another group of people that believe stuff like that. The ones that come to your house and knock on the door and want to sell you magazines. Okay? No. It is apparent, listen to me, it is apparent that something took place between verse 1 and verse 2. Don't know what it is. Don't come and ask me about it. I don't know. Because God created everything and called it good.
Amen.
But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then all of a sudden it says, and the earth became void. Chaos. Darkness. God never created anything in darkness. We don't know what happened. If it was important for us to know, he would have told us. But at some point, obviously, there needed to be an introduction of the presence of God, The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, and God says, let there be light. Light. Why? Why this? Let's go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not the light of the sun. The light of what?
Men.
And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness could not overcome it. Okay? God created the universe according to priority. This light was introduced in order to displace the darkness that came as a result of verse 2. We talked about that already. God always operates according to priorities. His priority is found in a few key scriptures. Okay? Are we getting anything tonight?
Yes.
Are you grasping this?
Yes.
Are you seeing that priorities are extremely important?
Yes.
That they need to be guarded, they need to be stewarded, they need to be managed, that we need to have reverence for the priorities that God establishes in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of your time. What does that speak to us? Priorities. Because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's a priority that we walk in an awareness of what God desires for us.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So if my priorities are messed up, and I'm all over here, or all over here, I'm not going to be aware of what God's will is for my life. And that's why some of us spend years, if not decades, spinning our wheels, feeling like we're not going anywhere, we're not accomplishing anything, we have no sense of satisfaction, no sense of accomplishment on the inside, because we're all over the place. And we can't live that way. Listen, hear me out, please. I'm going to make a statement to you, and I just want you to hear my heart and just think about it before you condemn me. And God desires for every Christian to be equipped to meet the needs of other people.
Amen.
Listen to me again. Every one of us in this room and everybody listening to this, the people that are in your life that do not know Christ yet, they need somebody who knows what they're doing. He needs someone who knows who God is, whose priorities are lined up, who's not messed up, who's not all over the place, who's not distracted, doesn't have one foot in the church and one foot out of the church. They deserve that, just like somebody came into your life who had their act together, had enough sense to go hear from God and be able to deposit things in you that led you to the point of salvation. Do you not think the people that you're meeting on a regular daily basis, don't they deserve the minimum of what you received?
Yes.
Then you and I cannot live our lives distracted. You and I cannot live our lives with our priorities messed up. Okay? You guys really are convincing me tonight that you're really getting this. I'm really got such a sense of yes, we're there.
Amen.
Now, I don't need that for ego. I need that to know, are you really getting this? Or are some of us so entrenched in our selfishness that we don't care if the people around us live or die? I hope not, because there's so many scriptures that speak against that kind of self-centeredness and selfishness. It's the life that is laid down that God picks up and uses in somebody else's life. Not the self-absorbed, not the self-centered, not the everything's about me, not, well, you know, I got to get my needs met. If my needs are not met, then... I don't want to see this church become a bunch of spectators watching God move all across this nation and across this world because we were too self-absorbed, too worried about self, too worried about our needs. This life goes by, bam, like this. The only thing that's going to count in eternity is who we bring with us, not what we bring with us. It's who we bring with us. When we're out of sync with God's priorities, we tend to waste time and opportunities. I don't know about you, I hate wasted opportunities. Hate them. I hate them because I know God hates wasted opportunities. Because God is the ultimate steward, the ultimate manager, the ultimate administrator. Third John, verse 2. What are we talking about? What does God consider a priority? Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Verse 3. Now, we got that one good. We know that one. We could all memorize that. Go recite that one. Verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, just as you walk in the truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what?
Truth.
Amen. Could we say it this way? I think we could say it this way and not break the scripture like Jesus said, okay? I have no greater joy to hear. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in priorities. God places a priority on our prospering. What does it mean to have prosperity of the soul? It means growing in the knowledge of God's will for your lives. We took that scripture, and most people subconsciously put that scripture only as it pertains to finances. Some people think prosperity is finances. We all know people that are loaded. We all know people that got mad bucks, okay? And they're still sick, they're still miserable, they're still lonely, they're still unfulfilled, all that stuff. Finances never equal prosperity. Prosperity can include finances, but prosperity of finances without prosperity of soul is a life that's wasted. Because guess what? Someday somebody's going to spend all that money that you accumulated, and they ain't even going to think about you. And we spend our lives trying to accumulate things, money, power, influence. And the only things that matters are the souls that we bring with us. Amen. The only thing that matters when we stand in heaven.
Right.
And Jesus goes, you see that whole line of people there?
Right.
You see that whole group over there? They're here because you placed a priority on meeting their needs, on ministering to them, on loving them, on forgiving them, on speaking to them about Jesus and doing everything possible. That's what matters, because that's the only thing that we're going to see as in the eternity. It's the only thing that's going to validate what our life was here on this earth.
Amen.
Glory to God. I guess we're still processing the chocolate bunnies from last week. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Look at the priority here. What's the priority? Read it with me nice and loud. Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The most important priority that God has for us is that we all be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. I know these are basic things, but we're stirring ourselves up here. Are you getting it? We're stirring ourselves up here. Why? Because when we get our priorities messed up, we forget the basics. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Bottom line, drop the mic. Well, Pastor, I've lived a good life. I'm a good person. I'm generous. I put other people first. And all that stuff. Yeah, that's wonderful. And we should do those things. But that's not what gets you entrance into heaven.
Amen.
You know that. But yet we fall into that sometimes, thinking that we're going to earn good, by our good works, we're going to earn God's attention. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Because the enemy of your soul can prompt you in that direction. Do some good things. Do you ever notice when you sin, you want to start doing good things? Because you want to try to get out from underneath the guilt. I'll do something good. I'll put an extra 10 in the offering this week. I'll pray a little bit more. In the old days, I'll go to church and light a candle. That'll pacify me. Doesn't work. Priority that you get born again. And just as God said, let there be light, and the light of the presence of God was introduced into the universe, so God wants to introduce to us that light through the new birth. God's number one priority is that we be restored back to him and never be separated again. This is the first step that God wants us to take. After making Jesus the Lord of our lives, we get baptized in water just like Jesus was. We're talking about priorities now. Priorities. I can't believe how many people got born again 40 years ago. Never got baptized. Remember, priorities give evidence of what's valuable and what's important. And that is a commandment of the Lord, that we be baptized. And it's not just for us, because baptism gives evidence of what you're believing to everybody around you in your life. It's important. So God wants us to be water baptized. Being baptized in water is an act of publicly proclaiming your faith in Jesus. It's an outward expression of what has taken place in your heart. Do we have one scheduled soon? Baptism? Probably the next couple of months. So those of you that haven't been baptized yet, make sure you get in on it, okay? It's a witness to non-believers, proclaiming that you are a follower of Jesus. Do you think that's a priority? Yes. To be able to proclaim that you're a follower of Jesus?
Yes.
Or are you a closet Christian? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they, the crowd that was there on the day of Pentecost, heard this, heard Peter preaching, they were cut to the heart. What does that mean? They got convicted and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See what I'm talking about? As soon as we become aware of our sin, we want to do something. We want to do something. What should I do? Verse 38, then Peter said to him, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Peter mentioned these two key steps in prioritizing our relationship with God. Here's the priorities. Here's the priorities. Okay? Real basic. And then we're going to stop for tonight. We'll pick up next week. Real basic. Number one, got to be born again.
Amen.
Got to be born again.
Amen.
Number two, baptized in water.
Amen.
Number three, baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And for so long, number three was like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. Jesus placed a priority on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus placed a priority. Okay? He thought it was important. If he thought it was important, we should think it's important. And not just say, well, yeah, I recognize that. No, do what he says to do. That's the priority. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to stop here. We'll pick up next week. Now, listen. I'm going to make this real sweet and short. I don't know who's here tonight, everybody that's here. I see a lot of new faces. I see a lot of people that I don't really know that well. I cannot assume that everybody in this room tonight is born again. But what does that mean, Pastor? Do you just want me to become part of your church? No, it's nothing to do with being part of the church. It has to do with where you're going to spend your eternity. And there could be some people in this room tonight, I pray to God that it's not the truth, but there could be some people in this room tonight that don't wake up tomorrow morning. Therefore, the decision has to be made now. If you have not yet been born again, well, what does it mean, Pastor? I don't understand. I hear this word born again. I hear this phrase. It means that you have come to the place where you recognize that you need a Savior. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. You're not comparing yourself to me. You compare yourself to God. Okay? And listen, I don't care how good of a person you are. When you compare yourself to God, you're not going to come up right. Just not. It's not going to happen. So you come to the place where I recognize I need a Savior. My sin nature is killing me. Because every one of us are born with sin nature. Nobody has to go to night school to become a sinner. We automatically are born sinning. Okay? Are you listening?
Yes.
This is serious. So your nature has to change. Your nature does not change by you doing good little things. Your nature changes by receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, recognizing that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, receiving that free gift of salvation. And how do you do it? It's so simple. It's ridiculous. It's why most people miss it, because we think religiously. Well, maybe I have to do this, and maybe I got to go to Rome, or maybe I have to go to the Himalayas, or maybe I have to go whatever and climb a mountain. And once I accomplish that, I'm going to come to a new state of consciousness. No, no. The Bible tells us very plainly, you declare with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, that God raised him from the dead, and you receive him as your Lord and as your Savior, and bam, your spirit comes to life, and therefore you are born again. Now, it takes boldness. It takes becoming vulnerable. It takes humility. But nobody comes to the cross of Jesus Christ prideful. It won't work. You receive nothing. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this real quick and sweet and short, and that's it. You want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior? Then come up here and we'll pray for you. Everybody stand up. One more time. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you want to leave this place tonight having the satisfaction and knowing that if God forbid you were to take your last breath, that you would be immediately in his presence, immediately. No purgatory, no limbo, no waiting rooms, just 1%, 100% just in presence of God. If that's you in this room tonight, get out of your seat and walk up here and we'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. Anybody else? Not going to drag this out for an hour. You know whether you need to or not.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Come on, saints, be praying. I know there's more people in here tonight. I know there's more people that need. I know you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Stop. Don't be clapping. They're not dancing bears. Pray. They just made a serious decision here tonight. Anybody else? Now, let me just explain something to you. If you know you're supposed to be up here and you harden yourself and leave this place tonight without making that decision, the next time it's going to be easier for you to reject Jesus. You're setting a precedent. The next time it'll be easier for you to reject him. Anybody else supposed to be up here? Okay. Let's all pray together with every single one of these that are up here tonight. Let's say this together. You guys up here, you say it too, okay? Say this with me. Father,
I believe
with all my heart,
that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe
that
he died on the cross
to pay for my sins.
And that you, Father,
received his blood
as payment for my sins.
I believe he rose from the dead.
I believe he's alive right now.
And he hears me praying.
So Jesus,
come into my heart.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Thank you for dying in my place.
Thank you for making me a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now you can clap. Hallelujah. Stay right here. Everybody, you're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, come up. If not, God bless you. You're dismissed. Prayer workers, please come up here.